Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you have your Bible tonight, if you'll turn to Psalm 139, I'm going to start in the Passion Translation. We'll do a lot of Passion Translation, New Living, and then my favorite New American Standard verses tonight. But mainly Passion Translation and New Living tonight, and so many of our verses. But tonight from the Passion Translation, Psalm 139, I'm going to read verses 5 through 11. Tonight we're talking about the presence of the Lord. How many value the presence of the Lord in your life? I tell you, there's nothing like the presence of God. You can go to different places and you can go to concerts and you go to professional sporting events and all that's fine, but that don't mean 2 cents worth of nothing compared to the presence of Almighty God. There's nothing like His presence in our lives. And Psalm 139, verse 5 through 11 says this: "You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a blessing to me. And this is just too wonderful, deep, and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength." Verse 7, "Where could I go from your spirit? Where could I run and hide from your face? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you're there too. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, you're there. And if I fly into the radiant sunset, you're there waiting. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It's impossible to disappear from you or ask the darkness to hide me. For your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night." That's a man who's had an encounter with God. Yeah. Who's able to appreciate the presence of the Lord. Over in Psalm 16, if you will. In Psalm 16. We can go to verse 8 in the New Living Translation. Psalm 16, verse 8 in the New Living Translation says, "I know the Lord is always with me, and I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me." What a powerful, powerful understanding to arrive at that point where the psalmist can say, "I know definitively that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken. He is right beside me." Oh, the comfort and the confidence from a person who knows that the presence of the Lord is always there. Further down in the New American Standard, it says in verse 11 of Psalm 16, in your presence is the fullness of joy. And that has to do with my title tonight. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Say that out loud with me. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Over in John chapter 14, if you'll go there with me, New American Standard, John 14 verses 16 and 17 in the New American Standard, Jesus promised that a day was coming when the Holy Spirit would reside permanently on the inside of us. John 14, verse 16 and 17 in the New American Standard says, "I will ask the Father," Jesus said, "and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you." Aren't you glad that God chose us to live in the day of the New Testament believer? We're living in that day. We're over in that realm now where God, the Holy Spirit, is residing on the inside of us. And God, he is all powerful. He's omnipotent, if you will, or depending on what part of the country you come from, you know, he's omnipotent, omnipotent. Some people say it that way. But God is also omniscient, which means he knows everything. Yeah. And listen, he is present everywhere. He's omnipresent. The Lord is everywhere. His presence is everywhere, thank God. And as a believer, his presence is down on the inside of us. And it's very important that we understand our rights and privileges as New Testament believers, because in the Old Testament, mainly the prophet, the priest, and the king, the Holy Spirit would come mainly upon them. And so the people had to rely on them to get direction from the Holy Spirit, to get ministry from the Holy Spirit. Often they had to rely on the prophet, priest, and the king. And sometimes the Holy Spirit would come and go depending on people's relationship with God, their obedience to God. But in the day of the New Testament believer, the Holy Spirit has come to reside on the inside of us. Aren't you glad about that? I said, he's not coming and going from the believer. He resides on the inside of the believer. Amen. Over in Timothy, it says, God said, look, he's faithful. He is so faithful. Even if we're not faithful, God is still faithful. What? He doesn't leave us. He doesn't run off from us. Thank God he's there to reside on the inside of the believer. Praise God. Aren't you glad about it? I said, aren't you glad about that? And so here in John 14, verse 17, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will abide with you and be in you and be in you. And then over in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, New American Standard, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus spoke of the anointing of the Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit as also to come upon us. So we saw there, John 14, 17, the Holy Spirit, his work within us. But Jesus also spoke of the ministry of the Holy Spirit upon the believer. And we can see that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come what? Upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, even unto the remotest part of the earth. And so there is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. Well, not only is he within us, but he will also come upon us for ministry. And oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes his ministry within us, oftentimes is to minister to us. Not always, but oftentimes. And his ministry oftentimes when he comes upon us is to minister to others. Not always, but oftentimes. And so there is the ministry of the Spirit within, and there is the ministry of the Holy Spirit upon. How many are with me? And God's presence is everywhere. And listen, as New Testament believers, we are to walk by faith and not by sight or feeling. And so we're not to go around seeking a feeling because we have something more important than a feeling. We have God's word. We have the efficacy of God's word. And so because of that, like, for example, in John chapter 20, you don't have to turn there, but you remember the discourse when Jesus, after the resurrection, he walks right through into the room where the disciples are barricaded behind closed doors. And Jesus walks right into the room and they all have an encounter with Jesus. They see the resurrected Christ, but Thomas wasn't there. You remember reading about that? And then when Thomas comes, what do the disciples say? Thomas, we saw the Lord. We saw the Lord. He's risen from the dead. Every promise is true. And that should have been enough to get Thomas excited. You know, Thomas wasn't excited. You know what Thomas said? I've been to Rhema just like the rest of y'all. I ain't believing nothing. Even though I've been to Rhema, I ain't believing nothing. Thomas said, you're going to have to show me. I'm not believing that. And then you remember what happened in John chapter 20 after that? Jesus showed up again. And they were barricaded behind a closed door. This time Thomas is with them 8 days later. And Jesus walked in there and walked right through. And then he told Thomas, he came looking for Thomas. And he told Thomas, come here. And he told him, touch my wounds. He told him, touch my side. And stop being an unbeliever. You know what Thomas said? Hallelujah, my Lord and my God. Jesus was unimpressed. Thoroughly unimpressed. Jesus told Thomas, you believe because you could see it. You were able to touch me is the only reason you're believing. He said, but more blessed are those like New Testament believers who may not see me, but they know by faith I'm right there by their side. And they can say like David, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be moved. He's right here beside me. Yeah. And so there is not only validity, there is necessity in us trusting and believing God and by faith, absent from any feeling. We got something more. Somebody said, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. We got something more powerful than a feeling. I got the word everything's going to be all right. I don't have to have a feeling. Thank God for a feeling, but feelings can come and go. Feelings are fickle. Feelings are fickle. Tomorrow morning, Tony and I will get up and go to the gym. I guarantee you we're not going to feel like getting up. But we go anyway. We go even when we don't feel like it. You know why? We want to live a good, strong life. The natural and supernatural things work together. But anyway, the point is that we're not to seek a feeling. We're not to just pursue feelings as Christians. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. But having said all of that, there is a valid, tangible presence of the Lord. And there is nothing that can be compared to his tangible presence. And I want to say briefly tonight, four things to you, real brief. Number one, his presence is a hiding place. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord. His presence is a hiding place. I remember when, 2014, when my dad, he passed away. You know, my dad and I, we were best friends. The first time I was married, I had six of my friends stand with me. Six brothers stood next to me. But my dad stood right next to me. He was my best man. We were best friends. We were all every Sunday. Oh, man, Sunday, leaving church, leaving Rhema. Man, my dad would call or I'd call. And he'd say, you know, are you out of church? And I'd say, oh, Dad, I'm out of church. And we'd sit there and talk. I'd pull into the garage. We might talk another hour. So many times the family would open the door. They look out there. They say, oh, well, he's out there talking to his dad. They just close the door. I'm sitting in the garage talking to my dad. And I remember in 2014 when he went home to be with the Lord. And I remember all the responsibility I had. I was the executor of my dad's estate. And I had such little time when he went home to be with the Lord, and I had so much responsibility and things to do, and I had to get an attorney, and I had to sell his house, and I alluded to that last time I spoke, and I had so many things that I had to take care of, and I had such little time, and I had to minister the message, and then he had a military service as well, and all those things the Lord gave us grace to get through. I'll never forget during that time experiencing God's tangible presence. His presence can comfort you like no bottle of liquor, like no elderberry or blackberry or a bottle of beer. Sometimes people say, well, I'm just going to go get it. I'm going to go pour it up and try and get some comfort. The presence of the Lord can comfort you unlike any natural human thing. If you want real comfort, you want real peace. Oh, man, the presence of God. And I never forget how when after the service, my dad's service, and I had rented a big old SUV and was transporting everybody around. I needed to make sure my sisters had got back and forth safely, and I got everybody was leaving after the service. I fed everybody and was getting everybody back to where they were going, airports and train stations. And finally, everybody was gone, and it was me in the SUV headed back to my dad's empty house. I'd run all day, and I was hungry, and I was tired, and I was thinking about all that I had to do, and I was behind the wheel of the SUV, and I thought, I haven't eaten. I'm going to stop and get something. I saw a Burger King sign, and I thought, I'm going to go to the Burger King and get me a chicken meal. I pulled into the Burger King to the drive-thru and ordered my chicken meal. I'll never forget what happened after that. I pulled up. There was a car in front of me, and when that car left, I pulled up naturally to pay for my chicken meal, and the lady said, sir, you can't pay for your chicken meal. The car that just left, they already paid for your meal. And I said, surprisingly, oh man, that surprised me. I don't know them. Oh, wow, that was nice of them. They paid for my meal. And then the person said, well, they also asked for the receipt after they paid for your meal. And then they wrote something on the receipt. And before they pulled off, they asked me to give you this receipt with what they wrote on it. And they wrote on the receipt, Jesus loves you. Yeah. And I sat there so touched, I could feel the tangible presence of the Lord come upon me behind the wheel of that car at the Burger King. I felt his presence of comfort and peace come upon me. I sat there with tears in my eyes, and I kept reading the receipt. For some reason, I read down to the bottom of the receipt. And it said on the Burger King receipt, your server today is, really his name was Jesus, I'm sure, J-E-S-U-S. Your server today was Jesus. And I melted behind the wheel of that car in the presence of the Lord. I had an encounter with the King of Kings at the Burger King. Yeah, with his mighty presence. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord. I want to say these four things real quick to you. His presence is a hiding place. His presence will hide you during times of trouble. And Psalm 9, verse 9 in the Passion Translation, Psalm 9, verse 9 in the Passion Translation, it says, all who are oppressed may come to you as a shelter in the time of trouble, a perfect hiding place. Oh, I like that. How many know he's a perfect hiding place? Glory be to God. Something's bothering you. Something's troubling you. Something's not right in your home. There's a perfect hiding place. It's the presence of the Lord. Oh, yeah. And then in Psalm 31, if you will, Passion Translation, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 31, verses 1 and 2. It says, for the pure and shining one, a song of poet praise, that's the title of it, a psalm of David. He says, I trust you, Lord, to be my hiding place. Wait a minute, I'm going to read that again. He says, I trust you, Lord, to be my hiding place. Don't let me down. Don't let my enemies bring me to shame. Come and rescue me, for you are the only God who always does what is right. Rescue me quickly when I cry out to you. At the sound of my prayer, may your ear be turned to me. Be strong, be my strong shelter and my hiding place on high. Pull me into victory and breakthrough. I like that. David said, God, be my hiding place. In Psalm 32, verse 7, New American Standard, Psalm 32, verse 7, the very next chapter, Psalm 32, verse 7, David said of the Lord, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Oh, God's got a place for you when you're in trouble. It's called his presence, and his presence is a hiding place. And then in Psalm 119, verse 114, Psalm 119, verse 114 in the New American Standard, he says, you are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. And finally, Isaiah chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 in the New Living. Isaiah chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. You say, what are we talking about, preacher? We're talking about how the presence of the Lord is a hiding place. Isaiah chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And then the Lord will provide shade for Mount Zion and all who assemble there. He will provide a canopy of cloud during the day and smoke and flaming fire at night, covering the glorious land. It will be a shelter from daytime heat and a hiding place from the storms and rain. God's got a hiding place for you and I from the storms and the rain of life. Finally, over in Acts chapter 6, verse 15 in the New American Standard, there's an account of Stephen under pressure. Stephen under pressure. He's been put on trial. They've hired people to lie against him. No doubt you've read this story in Acts chapter 16 about Stephen's life. And they hired witnesses. They couldn't compete with the wisdom with which he spoke. And so his combatants, they hired witnesses to lie against him. And then as they were lying against him in court, and this court is going to decide if he lives or dies. It's a kangaroo court because they've already decided they're going to kill him. And so he's there under that kind of pressure, knowing the injustice of what's happening. He's witnessing such injustice that's going to end his life in the natural. And Acts 6, 15 says they looked over at him, and when they looked at his face, they saw his face, it resembled the face of an angel. Stephen had found that hiding place. He had found that place in God, that even when we're under stress, even when we're under duress and pressure, there is a place we can go. There is a place we can get to. There is a place we can run to, and it is the presence of the Lord. So his presence is a hiding place. Secondly, his presence brings fullness of joy, just like my title tonight. His presence brings fullness of joy. Over in Psalm 5, verse 11 and 12 in the Passion Translation. Psalm 5, verse 11 and 12 in the Passion Translation. It says, but let them all be glad, those who turn aside to hide themselves in you. May they keep shouting for joy forever. Overshadow them in your presence as they sing and rejoice. And then every lover of your name will burst forth with endless joy. Lord, how wonderfully you bless the righteous. Your favor wraps around each one and covers them under your canopy of kindness and joy. Wow. What's your second point, preacher? His presence brings the fullness of joy. In Psalm 16, verse 8. Psalm 16, verse 8 again in the Passion Translation. Because you are close to me. Psalm 16, verse 8 in the Passion Translation. Because you are close to me and always available, my confidence will never be shaken. For I experience your wraparound presence every moment. My heart and soul explode with joy full of glory. Even my body will rest confident and secure. Yeah. Over and over again, the Bible reminds us that there is fullness of joy in his presence. In Philippians 4:4, New American Standard, Philippians 4:4, the Bible says this, rejoice in the Lord when always. And again, I will say what? Rejoice. Yeah. In the midst of every situation, in the midst of every circumstance, the presence of the Lord, we can rejoice in his presence. And then in Philippians 4:4, in the Passion Translation, that same verse says this, be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let joy overflow, for you are united with the Anointed One. Praise God. Glory to God. I said his presence brings the fullness of joy. Third, his presence brings peace like a river. I said his presence will bring you peace like a river. His presence is a hiding place. His presence brings fullness of joy. His presence brings peace like a river. In Isaiah 66, verse 12, New Living Translation, Isaiah 66, verse 12 in the New Living Translation, it says this, this is what the Lord says, I will give Jerusalem a river of peace and prosperity. The wealth of the nations will flow to her. Her children will be nursed at her breast, carried in her arms, and held on her lap. In Psalm 29, verse 11, New American Standard, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 46, verse 5, Passion Translation. Psalm 46, verse 4 and 5. I'm sorry, Psalm 46, verse 4 and 5, Passion Translation. God has a constant flowing river whose sparkling streams bring joy and delight to his people. His river flows right through the city of God Most High into his holy dwelling places. God is in the midst of his city, secure and never shaken. At daybreak, his help will be seen with the appearing of the dawn. Over and over again, and John, you know that famous passage in John 7, 37 through 39, Jesus said, there's a river down on the inside of every single one of us. And who is that river? It's God, the Holy Spirit. And we can tap into that river any hour of the day, any hour of the night. God's presence will bring peace like a river. Fourthly, his presence will melt the problems of your life. God's presence will melt problems of your life. In Psalm 46, verse 6 in the New Living Translation, Psalm 46, verse 6, it says this, the nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. How does the earth melt? At the voice of the Lord. How do problems melt? At the voice of the Lord, at the command of the Lord. When we open our mouth and speak what God's word says, when we say what God says through his word, our problems will melt away as well. Psalm 97, verse 5, New American Standard. Psalm 97, verse 5. It says this, the mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. You got a problem? God's got an answer. But your problems cannot survive in his presence. In his presence, problems will melt like wax. His presence will melt the problems of your life. Number four. So number one, I said to you, his presence is a hiding place. Number two, his presence brings fullness of joy. Number three, his presence brings peace like a river. Number four, his presence will melt the problems in your life. But as I close tonight, I want to share three ways we can encounter his presence in an amazing way. Again, we know we walk by faith, not by sight, but his presence, oh my. Worshiping God will create an atmosphere around you, number one. Worshiping God will create an atmosphere where His presence will tangibly minister to you. When we take time to worship the Lord, and I don't mean, you know, some people worship the Lord and they're really thinking, what's on my grocery list at Walmart? And they're mouthing words and they're saying, praise the Lord, but they're really thinking, what is on sale at Walmart? I'm not talking about that, because that's distracted. But when we focus in on God, when we block out everything around us, when we block out TVs and social media, and when we block out every single person around us, and when we just become aware of the presence of God, and when we have just an encounter in His presence, worshiping Him, I tell you, His tangible presence will come upon us. I've had times playing my guitar at home by myself and just entering into the presence of the Lord with my eyes closed, and then sometimes the tangible presence of God come upon me, and His presence seems so real. I feel like if I open my eyes, I'm going to see Jesus if I open my eyes. Make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. God's tangible presence when you worship Him. And somebody says, well, I'm not a worshiper. Well, you ought to keep good worship music around you. You ought to have good worship music in your atmosphere, where you have times of your day when you can go into the presence of the Lord and concentrate on Him and just worship Him with all of your heart, all of your attention, all of who you are, to worship Him. Oh, I tell you, that will draw the tangible presence of the Lord upon you. Speaking God's word will draw. Secondly, speaking God's word will draw His tangible presence to you. When we recite the word of God over and over and over again. You know my story. I was going through a divorce, and I was telling the Lord I needed His strength. And I was telling the Lord, I know Your word promises me strength, but Father, in a tangible way, I'm not experiencing Your strength. I know cognitively, but I need to know experientially. And I was talking to the Lord, and I was reading Isaiah 40. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. And I was reading that saying, Lord, I see Your promise. You said I'd mount up with wings like eagle. I would renew my strength, mount up with wings like an eagle. And I said, but I'm not experiencing that. Down in my belly, I didn't hear a voice. I felt an impression. Read it again. So I read it again. I said, Lord, I don't see whatever it is You want me to see. I see the same thing. Read it again. I felt impressed. I read it again. I said, Lord, I'm feeling lonely. I need strength. Read it again. I read it again. I said, Lord, I see Your word, and I know You have strength for me. Read it again. I read it again. Read it again. I read it again. Read it again. I read it again. I don't know. Sometime there, after the 10th time of reading that, I don't know how many times I read it, but I know I read it at least 10 times. And then the Lord spoke to me, to my heart, and He said, you're trying to get renewed strength with an unrenewed mind. And if you will renew your mind, I will renew your strength. And I find that so often other people have the same problem I had, trying to get renewed strength with an unrenewed mind. But I tell you, God's word is alive. God's word is living. God's word is filled with power and anointing. And if we'll renew our mind with His word on any area, pick the topic, whatever's troubling, what area is bothering you, get the word on that area. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. And get your mind renewed. And I got busy right then that night. Turned to Hebrews 13:5, and it said, He Himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What can man do to me? And I said that again, and the more I said it, the more confident I got, and I felt His tangible presence come on me. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you. Back in the Greek, it says, I will never, ever, ever leave you or forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What can man do to me? And I went to bed. I never forget. I went to bed saying that. I felt the tangible presence of God upon me. And when I woke up, I rolled out of bed onto my knees and threw my hands in the air. And I said, I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall now, Lord. I've got the mantle of Your strength. Yeah. And that strength, every day, spending time with Him, carried me through. Worshiping God will draw the tangible presence. It will create an atmosphere around you. for the tangible presence of God to minister to you. Speaking God's word will draw his tangible presence to you. Walking in love with people will draw God's, oh man, walking in love will draw God's tangible presence to you. Walking by faith, not by sight, will draw his tangible presence to you. Walking in obedience to God will draw his tangible presence to you. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. But when we obey God, stick with his word, there are times when his tangible presence will minister to us. If you need peace tonight, if you need joy, if you've got a bunch of chaos in your life, and you're looking for direction from the Lord, God's tangible presence will minister to you. God will help you no matter what you're going through. His presence will lift you up in the middle of the night when nobody can reach you, nobody can get to you, you won't answer your phone. Oh, but if you'll take some time and minister to the Lord, his tangible presence will minister to you. Let's pray together. Father, we've endeavored in this time to share what we feel you laid upon our heart. We thank you for the power of your presence that we always know is there. Whether there's a feeling or no feeling, we know you're there with us. Like the psalmist said in Psalm 16, verse 8, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be moved. He's right here beside me. In the New Living Translation, he said that. And so we thank you for that. The reality of your presence, whether we have a feeling or not. But then we thank you for your tangible presence that comes upon us. And we honor you and thank you and reverence you and bless you for ministering to your people. Comfort, peace, encouragement, strength. And just as I encountered you, the King of Kings at the Burger King, I thank you for meeting people wherever they are and helping them and strengthening them and lifting them up. We thank you and bless you for it. Your presence. It's an open door. Your presence. Thank you for your presence. Oh, there is fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.